Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is, how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Here we go!
Listening to the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 76 of the Emerald Flow Show. We're a podcast on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can follow us on X and Blue Sky at Emerald Flow Show. Is that right, Paul?
Probably, yeah. I actually, fun fact, while everybody else is currently migrating to Blue Sky, I made that account like ages ago, basically. So I actually don't, but I do think I used the same handle, yeah, because that was still available, obviously. So it should be the same handle, yeah.
Perfect. There we go. Yes. And you can listen to us on all of your favorite podcast apps. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and you can donate to the show at voicesofwrestling.com/donate. I'm Gerard, here with Paul. Paul, we have a lot to talk about because it's a up and down ride.
Yeah. It's a lot really of stuff that happened.
Things.
Noah being Noah.
Well, yeah, because we'll start with that. So basically, Noah said that it will respect Yoshiki Inamura's wishes if he wishes to sign with WWE. He's currently under contract to Noah. So what do you make of this? Is this a soft chickly now?
I mean, yeah, obviously, because they're saying, well, no, he isn't signed with WWE because he's under contract with Noah. Right, like, so because people were asking them, hey, is he like a WWE wrestler now? And they were like, no, he's a Noah wrestler. If you notice, whenever he like pops up on WWE, they always like have like pro wrestling Noah show up as well,
yeah,
to show that he's under contract with Noah. But I mean, it's quite obvious then if in the next sentence you say that, like, yeah, he's under contract with us now, but if he really wants to go there, we won't stand in his way after his contract expires. So I mean, yeah, I think that basically just confirms that once his contract expires and if WWE is still interested in him by then, which that's obviously the other question, like,
yeah,
when is his contract expiring, right? Because far as I know, Noah contracts are generally running like either until like October or April, right? Because Nakajima's expired in October, and that's when he jumped to All Japan, and then like Muto's expired in April, and that's why his like retirement show was around then. So the question is, so since we're already in November, they're saying he's still under contract now. That means I would assume Inamura's contract at the earliest expires in April. So the question is, will WWE still be interested in him by April or not? Or will they have already, because the company has no, like, you know, because they always want to have like the new fancy toy, will they have already kind of moved on from him by then?
That's very possible. So it remains to be seen. But what would you think if you had to predict?
I would think that he's going to sign there, because of, like, to me, the fact that he's on TV and everything, right? Like, you don't show up on WWE TV without them wanting to sign you. Like, because they did that, they're currently doing that with like Jordynne Grace as well. Well, like, yeah, it's very obvious that they're going to sign her. And I think that's exactly what they're doing with Inamura here as well. Like, that you, like, WWE, you don't, like, I said this before, you don't go on excursion to WWE. The moment they put you on TV, they want to sign you. And that's the only reason they put you on TV. If they didn't want to sign you, they wouldn't put you on TV.
Yeah. And so if that happens, how long do you think he's there?
In NXT or in WWE?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In the whole company.
And the whole company. I think either he stays there for the rest of his career or he gets cut after 5 years.
Oh, that long.
Maybe not 5 years, but like I would say like 3 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Because how long did Jiro stay there?
2 or 3 years.
Yeah, 2 or 3 years, right? Same with Kushida. So I feel like it's like 2 to 3 years, or he's like a Tozawa where he's happy to be like on the undercard and just stays, and happy living in the US and just stays there for the rest of his career.
Yeah, for sure, definitely. And on some more bizarre news, Kota Ibushi is going to be facing Hikaru Sato on a Sato Produce show on December 14th. Do you think that the countdown is on to him on the December 31st All Japan show?
No, I think last year's All Japan would have brought him in. I don't think this year's All Japan would bring him in, right? Because I think at this point he's basically just persona non grata. Like, he's completely on the outs with New Japan. He's completely on the outs with all of Cyberfight at this point. Like, because he just burnt bridges with both Noah and with DDT now. He hasn't really drawn, like, whenever he's come into great, he hasn't made a difference in the slightest in terms of drawing. He hasn't been well physically, so I don't think he would be able to, like, hold up with, like, the All Japan, like, main event style. I just don't, like, and they just got burnt with Nakajima, right? So I think they're even more hesitant, so I just don't see a reason to bring him in, to be quite frank, because I don't think he makes a difference at this point. Right. As weird as that sounds, because he was such a massive star for such a long time, but I think he's just damaged goods, really, like in more ways than one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I just thought, you know, given who he's working against, maybe there's doors opened or lines of communication. I would not say it's impossible.
I mean, nothing's impossible in wrestling, right? But
yeah,
I don't know. What would you see as a reason why they would bring him in?
I was setting this because I'm like, I don't know what this December 31st main event is. And so sticking him in like a tag match with like Kento on one side might pop a few tickets, like as a semi-main or something like that.
I mean, that probably wouldn't be the worst idea, because, I mean, we literally just saw this pretty much a year ago, right? Or almost a year ago. Because the reason he's on the outs with Noah is because he stunk up the main event of the biggest show of the year against Marufuji. And I don't think that's also why I think like All Japan wouldn't make the same mistake like exactly a year later, essentially, right? Where they would put him on like their biggest show of the year, and then he potentially like shits the bed against Kento in a tag match, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But we'll see.
But again, that would mean Kento wouldn't be in the main. That would mean Kento wouldn't be in the title match on that show either.
It doesn't feel like that's happening, regardless of what happens. It just doesn't feel like that to me. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Because it's going to feel incredibly rushed.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Because at least Nakajima was already in the company by this time last year.
Yeah. Well,
like, he was already in the company, was already champion and everything. So.
No, I'm saying to do a Kento main event incredibly rushed. Like, again, for the Triple Crown.
But what match wouldn't feel rushed, right?
Yeah, there isn't that one.
Exactly. Like, there is no natural. Unless you're doing one of the Saitos. Unless you're doing, like, June Saito.
Yeah, or something like
that. It's, like, the only other singles match that has been built up for Davey Boy.
That's true, yeah. So, let's go to Noah. So, we start on November 9th at Osaka Edion No. 2. Akitoshi Saito, Ridge Road, last Osaka, in front of 614 fans. That's not good.
No, that's bad. Like, and I mean, it wasn't even like they put some relatively big matches on the show as well. Like that main event should draw better.
I would say the top two matches should have drawn better. Yeah.
Yes.
So we start with Masa Kidamine, Amaska, and Black Mesa Ray defeating Anthony Green, LJ Cleary, and Yuu Iwata in 8:54 with the Saito suplex from Kidamine on Iwata. A good, solid opener, but it didn't last too long. Then we had Tadasuke and Yuto Kikuchi defeating Junta Miyawaki and Daiki Odashima in 8 minutes and 6 seconds with the Outcast from Tadasuke on Odashima. I was beginning to think, is Junta spinning his wheels again?
Yeah, a little bit. Seems like they did some. But then again, we don't have too much evidence just yet. But it definitely doesn't feel encouraging that, like, after they gave him a push, they just immediately pushed him back into second match drop duty.
And then Keno, Alejandro, and Kai Fujimori defeated Muhammad Yone, Atsushi Kotoge, and Hajime Ohara in 10:07 with the Sky Twister Press from Alejandro on Kotoge. I actually thought this was actually a fun match. Although Alejandro pinning Kotoge was somewhat surprising.
At this point, no, because Kotoge just... I don't know. Does it feel like Kotoge is like on his way out?
No.
Right? I don't know. Like he because he was noticeably doing a lot of stuff with like Team Noah and everything like in the first half of the year. But then over the last couple of months, he has done less than nothing. Like he is completely done.
Like he was a featured player, sort of.
Yeah.
Seems... even less than it was before.
And they put him in the N1 as a replacement, right? And
yeah.
Then he got injured. And then basically since he's been back from that injury, he's just been jobbing constantly and just doing nothing at all.
And then Dragon Bane and Alpha Wolf defeated Jack Morris and Daga with Yoshitatsu in 5:40 with the Hurricane Runner on Bane on Daga, obviously to set up their match. I mean, I'll get to this later, but I think this is perfectly fine. Team 2000X isn't completely stinking up the place in the matches, I gotta say, to be completely honest. Yes. But this was just a simple thing to start. And then we had Uka Sasaki defeating Haru Toki in 9:59 with a backdrop hold. I think, like I said, we talked about Haru Toki before, they should sign him, and I thought this was a very solid match, actually. And Sasaki really good. Yeah. Few weeks.
Yes, no, because that was my thing as well. It was like Haru Toki had a really good match, and again, it always bears repeating that Sasaki is less than a year in. So, so the fact that again, this wasn't a blow-away match, but that like Haru Toki isn't also the most experienced one either, so that they just can just go in there and just have a like be completely unfamiliar with each other and just have a solid match at this stage of their careers is actually a pretty good indicator that like Haru Toki should be kept around and that Olga Sasaki is somebody that you can do something with.
Yeah. And then for the GHC Junior Heavyweight title, Hayata and Yohei defeated Shuhei Taniguchi and Ida in 13:11 when Hayata pinned Taniguchi with the schoolboy to make the titles. So we should say before the show started, I don't know if you saw this, Paul, but they did the weigh-in.
Yeah, there was a shoot weigh-in.
Yeah. So look, I said this angle went on too long and it did. But I thought this was a lot of fun with Taniguchi doing the lucha stuff early on and the crowd going wild for it. And then he put on the Maybach mask and had the like Maybach, whatever that thing, the
staff. Staff.
Yeah. And he brought that out, but it didn't work because Hayata pulled off the mask and schoolboyed him. over.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I was also completely over this.
This
wasn't a must-watch match, but I thought it turned out to be more fun than I was expecting.
Yeah, especially because it was like with Hayata matches, that's always like, oh, I don't know about this one. And the fact that I was also like expecting it to be quite shtick-heavy because they were doing all of this like stuff around Taniguchi and everything. And I agree, it also exceeded my expectations as well. It was like, okay, this actually ended up being kind of fun.
Yeah. And then... Akitoshi Saito, Ridge Road, last Osaka. Kaito Kimiya and Naomichi Marufuji defeated Takashi Sugera and Akitoshi Saito in 13:07 with the modified Shining Wizard from Kimiya on Saito. I actually thought this was actually a pretty good little match here, and everyone worked hard. And I think Kimiya to 13:07 was probably the wisest. Because sometimes they'll stick in that like tag with a bunch of stars that goes like 20 minutes in the semi-main event spot. But I thought this worked. It was short and
yeah. No, I think you can't have Saito go 20 minutes, like even in a tag match. That's going to be rough for him. So I'm also happy they kept this one short. And I mean, it was a good preview, essentially, for the like the two main events of the Destiny show.
Yeah. And then, like, was the retirement match set here on the promos afterwards, or had it already been announced?
I'm trying to think.
I can remember, because they had the promos with Saito and Mar Fuji after the match.
I know. I think they already set it up after the main event, right? Where Segura was Mar Fuji. Didn't they already set it up there after the
Korakuen? Oh, maybe they did. Yes. Yes. Okay. You're right. Yeah. So, okay. So they just built that to some more. And then in the main event, the GHC national title, Amanda Busoya defeated Go Shiozaki in 21 minutes and 38 seconds with a dando to make a second defense. I liked the match. It was a little, you know, slow but steady, shall we say, to build with the working over of the arm and everything on Soya's arm. And then, you know, they turned it up in the last couple of minutes. But I don't know. I just felt slightly underwhelmed by the end of this.
So do we have to face the reality? Is Go Shiozaki kind of washed? I think it might have finally happened. Right?
I would say that he is in decline. Washed is a strong word.
Fair. Okay, he's not as bad as, like, Tanahashi is now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's definitely better than that, but I think we just kind of have to say goodbye of, like, to the expectation where, like, you see Go Shiozaki in a big singles match on the card and just expect, like, a really high level match. Like, it's probably more going to be this level where it's going to be good, but he's probably not going, like, I think he can still have a great match. Mm-hmm. Like, same way as, like, Mara Fuji can, right? Like, when Mara Fuji, every once in a while, can still, like, pull out a great match. And I think Go probably still can as well. But it shouldn't be your, like, standard expectation anymore that, like, he's going to have a great match.
Yeah, that's fair.
Sucks, but it was going to happen eventually anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, and this is why they didn't push him back into the main events after he returned from injury. Probably. Yeah,
for sure.
So, yeah, show was fine, I guess. Can't say it was bad by any means, but it wasn't like...
No.
But it was an easy one like that. So we go on to Monday Magic Autumn Episode 3 on November 11th at Shinjuku Face. And Shuji Ishikawa and Shuji Kondo defeated Masato Tanaka and Takuya Sugawara in 8 minutes and 44 seconds. The King Kong Lariat from Kondo on Sugawara. I don't know if I feel about seeing more Sugawara in Noah.
Yeah, no. But, you can see on Monday Magic.
This was just a, we'll get to that in a minute, but this is more or less built to more Ishikawa versus Tanaka. Mm-hmm. It was perfectly fine. I mean, these guys can work at like a quick match pretty well. And then just a 5-way match, Amasuka defeated Dragon Bane, Starboard Charlie, Ada, and Alejandro in 7:19 with a single leg crab, like a cradle. Sorry, that's the translation, on Alejandro. I mean, what did you expect for these five guys for 7 minutes of Spotfest?
Yeah, just flying all over the ring. It was fine for what it was, but also not exactly very memorable.
No. And then El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr., Anthony Green, and Vinny Massaro versus Manabu Soya, Masa Kitami, and Uka Sasaki went to a no contest in 9:33 when Jack Morris ran. Jack Sasaki. I mean, it was like... I gotta say, Masaro was more over than I thought.
Oh, yeah. He has really gotten over. I'm really surprised he got that over. Because, yeah. I mean, he's good. He's good, but didn't exactly expect... I mean, he's kind of become a bit of a cult favorite, probably, because that's also the kind of, like, people that go to these Shinjuku Faith shows, right?
Yeah, they're the hardcore fans, for sure. So it's not surprising. But I just thought that was an interesting note. Match was actually pretty decent until, you know, the ending and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Next... The West Coast Pro World Heavyweight title, Titus Alexander defeated Kevin Blackwood in 11:56, the Big Ugly, to win the title. I thought this was very good. This was a very, like, U.S. indie style match. I'm sure maybe some people who listen to this program don't care for that style. I did really enjoy this match. It's like the best overall match on Monday Magic so far this year, to be completely honest with
you. Gonna have to think about that. But yeah, it was really, really good. I hope this means that we'll get more like Kevin Blackwood and Noah overall, that he will just, like, because I think he fits really well in the promotion.
I think so too. expect to have more to talk about him later too.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I was surprised actually that I wasn't surprised that they changed the title here. I was surprised they made it a title match more, because like the moment they made it a title match, that gave it away to me that like, oh yeah, Titus Alexander's probably winning this. But I was still surprised that they made it a title match. But I mean, I guess that's kind of cool. And yeah, gives Titus like a build and everything. So yeah, overall, great debut for Kevin Blackwood. Though obviously the one thing I will say, maybe not the most ideal debut is to like come in with a belt nobody knows and then lose it immediately.
I don't think that's I think some luchadors have done that in Japan in the past, actually.
True. And also B, I think Monday Magic shows are generally like more or less non-canon, so it's fine.
Sort of, yeah. Well,
it's weird. It's a bit of a mixture, yeah.
This is definitely canon. Next up, GHB Women's Title, first champion decision match, Magic Rumble. Koki Emery won by eliminating Sadie Gibbs over the top rope in 26:09. And also appearing in this match was Chigusa Nagayo, Nightshade, Utami Hayashishida, Takumi Aroha, Miyuki Takase, Miku Ueono, Great Sakuya, and Sadie Gibbs. Nagayo was the first eliminated, and she was only in the match for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, but I mean, hey, good for her for getting a payday.
She got a huge pop, though.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Because it was supposed to be 10 people, right? And everybody was already in the ring. And then she came out as like the 11th participant.
It probably went a little too long, but there was some good action in there. But I just thought it sort of was very uneven.
Some people definitely showed that they don't have that much experience, right? And I think also because some of the women also really struggled getting over the top rope as well. I think that kind of derailed the momentum of the match a lot as well, where people were just really struggling to get over the top rope. I'm like, and yeah, I don't know.
Well, I'm not surprised that Rossi offered up Koki to win this title, because obviously he has her earmarked. She comes across as someone that Rossi would definitely push. And she definitely has potential, but she's still green. She's
very green, yeah. I was surprised when they put this on her. But I guess maybe that's why they made it a Rumble match. So it's like more believable that somebody with barely any experience wins this, essentially.
Are you somewhat surprised that Great Sakuya did not win?
Actually, yeah. And the fact that she wasn't even the last one in there. Because I actually expect, like, I think regardless of if she was going to win, I actually expected her to be at the very least, like, the last person eliminated, and she wasn't even that, so really puts into question what is the actual future of this character.
Well, they're still using her, so I think that's possible that she could just win it later. I think Koki sort of wanted to, I think she was talking about defending it against Chika Goto next.
Yeah, I think they already announced a match, right, for the a big show that Marigold has coming up.
Yeah, I didn't catch that actually, so maybe I'll look into that. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. And it's like the title's not even getting defended anywhere in Noah.
I mean, hey, but at least it's the one Monday Magic title that actually is allowed to be defended outside of Monday Magic.
Yeah, I was right. It's Chika Goto on January 3rd at Korkin, or is this a? Oh no, it's January 3rd anyway. On the Marigold, which is like a big Marigold show, because it's it'll be Utami versus either Sari or Nane for the Marigold World Title.
Ooh, okay, that actually should be good.
Yeah, so I think that might be a thing. Anyway,
is Oda World already open again? I thought that was supposed to be closed for like 2 years.
No, I could swear there's other people booking.
Okay, they went real fast on that renovation.
Well, let me check that,
because All Japan's like last show, and that was like end of March, right?
Yeah, the Marigold shows at Oda Ward.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So I would expect All Japan probably to head back there in 2025.
Yeah, hopefully around the time when I'm back in Japan around New Year's next year.
Yeah, that'll be interesting if they go with Yoyogi again.
Yoyogi would be easier to get to, so I hope it's that one.
And the main event of the show was Kaito Kimi and Kai Fujimura defeating Takashi Sugiura and Yu Owada with a like a swan dive forearm elbow from Fujimura on Owada in 12:13. I thought this was also another very good, solid main event. I thought, obviously, it was to build to Kaito versus Sugiura, but I mean, they gave a lot of shine to Fujimura and Iwata, and I thought they also look like they're actually doing something with Fujimura, so let's see how long that lasts.
Yeah, no. Solid main event overall. I don't have that much to say on it. I am happy though that they're kind of putting you water and like positions this for up the card, right? Because as a young boy, you don't really get that many of these opportunities. But I do have to say though, and that's been a bit of an issue that I've had with this like season of Monday Magic, like you've had some really cool like matchups that they've booked, like Olga Sasaki versus Masaki Mochizuki, or like bringing in Kevin Blackwood. But I have to say, generally, the matchmaking has been a lot more pedestrian than it has been on like previous seasons of Monday Magic. It's like, yeah, right, because this is a match you could have seen on like a regular Noah show as well.
Yeah, yeah, it's less strange or surprising, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into more strange and surprising things when we get to, when we come around to the next Monday Magic. But then we move on to Noah Destiny at Dolphins Arena, aka Aichi Prefectural Gymnasium, in front of 1,788 fans, which I gotta say is actually a decent number.
Yeah, I mean it's about 200 less than it did there last year, but that one also had Kenno versus Kaito on top, which is kind of one of the best drawing feuds. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's definitely more than I expected. Like I thought they would actually.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a retirement, and I think just because the bigger shows this year have been so weak, I just didn't expect much at all.
Yeah.
So we start off with a hero to Dr. Wagner Jr., Galeno Del Mal, and Alpha Wolf defeating Jusa Miyawaki, Yu Iwata, and Daiki Odashima in 7 minutes and 5 seconds with the BT bomb from Wagner on Iwata. A very solid opener, I thought. But like I said, it was like, I think it was the show. I was like, I don't know. And then Anthony
Green. I'm afraid they're going to put him in Team 2000X.
Oh, God. Anthony Green, LJ Cleary, Ada, and Harutoki defeated Muhammad Yone, Shuhei Taniguchi, Amasuka, and Hitoshi Kumano, who's back again relatively quickly. Numero uno from Ada on Taniguchi, who's now just jobbing to.
Well, he is technically a junior now. I don't know if he officially still is. I don't know if they did a shoot weigh-in. But, okay, did they do this whole storyline just so they can have Taniguchi drop to juniors?
I'm beginning to wonder that because it's just so bizarre. Which now makes me wonder if, like, Taniguchi is going to come and challenge Ada later. We'll get to that in a minute. But this story is obviously continuing or going where Onosawa just wants to humiliate Taniguchi. I don't know. Go Shiozaki, Atsushi Kotoge, and Hajime Ohara defeated Kenno, Alejandro, and Kai Fujimura in 7:48 with the go on alert from Shiozaki and Alejandro. I was surprised at how much time this got, but it was perfectly solid for what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, then, I mean, solid 6-man time.
And then Uko Sasaki defeated Jack Morris in 9:40 with a backdrop hold, which I'll start with A, it was the right booking. B, all things considered, this match was pretty good, but they did like, you know, we're going to do some interference, but it's going to backfire. And then Sasaki, which, you know, I love that sort of thing. And I feel that this could be a trend with Team 2000X, but otherwise, I thought it was a solid match.
Yeah, no, the match overall was solid. I would almost say a little bit too short, right? Like, given what was at stake here, generally, like the big match at like the biggest show of the year was technically at stake here, right? Like because that's what Morris was talking about, was like, no, I'm Sasaki, I'm gonna beat you, and then I will get that match instead, and then they just do it in under, then like he loses in under 10 minutes. I don't know if that really helps his credibility. That's kind of what I'm afraid of the most with like this whole Team 2000X stuff, is that it's going to hurt Morris the most.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Daga was already a shitbag heel.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's gonna hurt Morris. Like, what I mean, Morris has pinned Kaito before. Morris has gotten some, you know, this happens to him. Like, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that later. And then Masa Kitami and Shuji Kondo defeated Manabu Soya and Kazuyuki Fujita in 9:25 with a set of suplex from Kitami on Soya to get the pin. This was what you'd expect. But it was also wise to keep it short when Fujita's in there. Hard, stiff action. And then we're setting up for a Kitamiya versus Soya match, even though Kitamiya just lost to Kazuyuki Fujita in like less than 10 minutes. But no.
Look, at some point, Noah will learn that like setting people up for like title matches by having them face Fujita first is a bad idea, because he's not going to be willing to put that person over. But
yeah,
that day is not today.
Whatever. That match will be good, though.
Yeah, the match will be good, and this was good, so it's fine. And like, it's Kitamiya. Like, he, at this point of his career, if he wants a challenge for that kind of belt, like, he can just do that. We're just getting a win. It's okay.
Next up for the GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title, Hayata and Yohei defeated Tadasuke and Yuto Kikuchi. So, Rattles explode in 13:07 with the 4-on-3 impact from Hayata on Kikuchi to make their fourth defense of the titles. I thought it was good. If, you know, not, it wasn't like great or anything, but it was a good, solid match. But I think they swerved us all by everyone just being friends at the end.
Yes. No, the swerve here was that there was no swerve. Rattles actually stays together. Is this the longest that like a configuration of Rattles has stayed together? Might be getting close.
It's funny because it didn't, it was good, solid match. It was just there, though. It didn't feel like a big, like, oh, we're going to do Rattles versus Rattles or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, like, because I would have also expected that, but it's like, because they also didn't even really tease much dissension, right? They just went out there and just had a match, and then everybody shook hands, and that was it. I mean, it was fine, but yeah, I agree. We're like, they didn't really play that up at all, that these guys are stablemates.
No, not at all. And then for the GHC Junior Heavyweight title, Daga defeated Dragon Vane. It's the Diablo Wings to make his first defense of this title reign. I don't know. There wasn't much to this, honestly.
Nope.
I thought it was way too much time just Daga beating up Vane. You had a nice little closing stretch, but that was it.
Yeah. No, the closing stretch was good. Otherwise, yeah, I agree. It did. There just wasn't a whole lot there. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think Bane is like the best at selling. I think that hurt us a bit as well. Yeah. So just, I was disappointed by it. I think it went to, because for what it was, I think it went too long as well.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I get that as a title match, they had to make it longer. But like, if it was more interesting, I wouldn't have had an issue with this. But like, I actually had to really like force myself to pay attention at times during this match. And then, yeah, as you said, finish was good, but otherwise very pedestrian. And
it's
looks like we're going to...
I was going to say, I strangely had higher expectations.
Yeah, same. No, because Daga has kind of... like, I mean, now he has actually raised our expectations of his. So now we actually can be like, we did expect more of
because,
this.
Well, also because of Bane's performances. Whether it's one or the or
that too,
right? That's a big factor as well, not just on Daga's end. Then Ada came out to challenge for January 1st at Budokan, and I think he's gonna win it.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think I said last year that like you should bet money on like Ada winning, because I was 100% certain that Ada was going to win that title there, and then he didn't. So I think them running it back exactly a year later. I mean, I might get burned twice, but I am going to say again, like, yeah, no, like, I think you could bet like really good money on Ada winning, and that's going to be a very safe bet. So because again, we said this before, right? Daga has already run through everybody. So what else is there to do except for him?
I really don't know what I'm expecting. I'm not expecting much from this match.
No, it wasn't very good last year either. This year. It wasn't very good when they ran it January 2nd this year. I don't think it will be like the other thing as well. At least when they did it this year, they had come out of like this like endless feud that they've had against each other, right? Where Daga and Ada had been feuding for like what, like a year at that point, like more on or off, right? Like basically since Daga betrayed like Ada and everything and turned on him and joined the what's it called again? The Nosawa effect. No, he joined Stinger, right? He joined Stinger.
Yeah.
So like that had been going on for a while, and then he beat him, and then they kind of like completely stayed apart. So like, I don't even think this feels that hot anymore, like because they've just been apart for a year and haven't really interacted at all.
No.
over that year, and now it's just kind of Ata random. Like, now it felt more like, not like everybody knows that they're running it back from last year, but it just felt like more like a random challenge almost. So it feels colder than it did this year. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe that will actually cause the match being better this time around, but we'll see. But the last time isn't really encouraging me.
It feels like Ada's in the line for a longish, considering his reign in 2022 was only 47 days.
And he's signed now, right? That's the difference.
They went to the trouble. They went to the thing of signing him, and I think Taniguchi's going to challenge him at some point.
Oh, God. Yeah, sure. Why not?
And then in the Akitoshi Saito retirement match, Akitoshi Saito road final, Naomi Chimura Fuji defeated Akitoshi Saito in 15:09 with the running elbow. So Saito came out carrying one of Misawa's entrance robes, and they did a bunch of Misawa tribute spots. Like, there's an Emerald Flosion that Saito kicked out of, and then Mara Fuji did some rolling elbows and then pinned him with like that Misawa style running elbow. I thought Saito really hustled in this match. You see him running around the ring and everything like that. So I actually thought, all things considered, this was a pretty good retirement match for a guy that's 8 years old.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you can still move around like that at that age, like after you've put your body for like decades of wrestling, I think you've been like very blessed almost. And he definitely wrestled like a man that knows that like he doesn't have to hold anything back anymore, right? Like he knows like it's done after this. So who cares? Exactly, no more bumps. So I'll just fill out whatever you have left on your bump card. Just put it all out there, lay it all out there, what you can still do. And it was very emotional, right? Like, it's like Saito was crying on the way to the ring with the Misawa jacket. And they also cut to Mara Fuji, who was also just barely keeping it together as well. Mm-hmm. So just before the match was already emotional. Yeah, it was very nice.
Right. Pretty simple retirement ceremony, just with some flowers and his family in the ring.
Yes, they kept that very simple. I mean,
you're not getting a bunch of guests or anything.
No.
Anything like that. It's funny because this show, for a Noah Big Show, was like only like 3 hours long.
Yeah, it went by really fast. Yeah,
I watched this live and I was expecting, okay, this is going to be like a 4 hour show.
I actually didn't realize it was an early starting show, so I actually woke up when the junior junior title match started. So I was like, oh wait, what do you mean this show is already? I thought it was one of those shows that starts at like 10:30 my time, and then I woke up at 8 and the show was basically already over, and I'm like, huh, well, what happened?
Yeah, so I thought that went off a good match for a 58-year-old retirement and a nice little ceremony.
I'm sure definitely a feel-good thing. And the fact that they gave him this big of a retirement show as well, you know?
Yeah. Like, they didn't give Daisuke Harada much.
No, but
they gave him like one pork.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think that's more because he also couldn't do more than that either.
So we move on to the main event for the GHC heavyweight title. Kaito Kiyomiya defeated Takashi Sugura in 30:02 with a modified Shining Wizard to make his 6th defense of the title. I really like this match. I thought it was very good. I went 4.25 stars. I would say, though, they could have probably cut off 5 minutes even better just to keep it a little tighter. But, I mean, great action. Sugura, I mean, he's lost like half a step, but he's still great.
Yeah.
They're just pummeling each other and everything like that. I love the Shining Wizard off the top rope. Well, Sugura went for that superplex and everything like that. So, I mean, still, I thought it was pretty.
Yeah, I have my problems sometimes with the way Kaito uses the like Shining Wizard, but like, yeah, that Shining Wizard off the top rope was sick. Like, and that's also kind of more like how it's supposed to be used, right? And that's like something Kaito, I don't think it still has fully grasped. It's like, no, Kaito, it's this thing that's supposed to come out of nowhere. It's supposed to surprise the opponent. And he always does this like really long setup and everything for it and make it really obvious that it's coming. So yeah, when he just like got out of that superplex and just kneed him in the fucking face, that was awesome. So I fully agree with you. Like, this was too long. It was still great, but a bit too long.
Yeah.
I agree with, like, I went 4 stars on it. So a little bit lower than you. Still thought it was a really, really good match. Sugura is still awesome. Pummeling Kaito completely. But I also felt like a bit of a difference as well, where Kaito was like holding his own as well. So not just completely like wrestling from underneath like the entire time, but actually like holding his own and everything and showing that like, no, Like, I'm the ace of this promotion. So, yeah, great match. A little bit too long, but I think a well-deserved main event.
I mean, I was thinking about this. I still think this was actually one of the best Noah matches.
Yeah, there hasn't been any lot of super high-end stuff in Noah this year.
No. So, I have to go back and look at that, but I feel like that's...
Definitely say Wagner versus Kaito. Probably rank above this.
Yeah. Because like you had the brief Wagner win, but that also involved that Jake Lee match. It also involved the Keno match.
Yeah.
And the Keno reign was except for the Soya match.
Mm-hmm.
So
Keno versus Go. Well, Keno versus Go was pretty good.
Yeah.
I might be slightly lifted for me, obviously, since I was there, but yeah, I'm kind of struggling to think otherwise. What was like the really super high-end stuff in Noah? There hasn't been that much.
So, and then we have to talk about the angle after the match.
Yes.
Taishi Ozawa turned on All Rebellion, and he attacked Kaito with his crutch. Then Team 2000X came out with a black crutch. Ozawa, and then... beat him up some more. I guess you got to give it hand it to Nasawa for keeping his booking, because I'm sure this was going to happen regardless of the injury.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, I think that because they wouldn't have done it while he was in. Basically, he's still injured, right? Like they wouldn't have done it if they hadn't already.
Well, I think he still is injured.
Yes. Yeah, it was very noticeable that he still was.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. I mean, maybe the turn was coming, but I don't know.
Yeah.
End up hurting Ozawa.
Maybe. I mean, if I already thought it was kind of weird that they like put him in All Rebellion and kind of like very nonchalantly, right? And then they also put Kai Fujimura in there immediately after. Like, I already thought that was weird, but I still didn't expect him to like turn here. And definitely not while still injured. I don't know. Team 2000X, like, is he like the actual leader now? Is it still Jack Morris? But Jack Morris just lost, but I guess he challenged Kaito, but it's not going to be soon, right? Like, because he was still noticeable. Like, he doesn't look like a guy that is, like, days away from being back in the ring. Like, he was noticeably limping after he hit Kaito with the crutch. I mean, worst case scenario, he actually re-aggravated it. Like, he was actually mostly healthy and re-aggravated it when he did that.
Yeah.
But, we'll see. I don't know what to think. And then, obviously, the whole... weirdness of what they've been doing with him since then on social media.
Oh god, yeah. Well, first of all, compared Kaito to a domestic abuse.
That was by far the worst out of all of them.
Did you see the second one or the follow-up where he's like Kaito's been cheating on his girlfriend at a cabaret club?
Yeah, well, or showing the photo of Kaito smoking.
Oh, I didn't see that one. That's funny.
He had a picture of Kaito smoking, and then Kaito at the cabaret club. I mean, saying that Kaito has a girlfriend already is kind of a no-no, right? Because Japan, this kind of like parasocial relationship kind of also goes for men, actually, right? Like, because it is very common, like in the West as well, where like women in entertainment is like a bit of a like stigma around like revealing if you have a significant other and everything, because there's absolute batshit crazy people it's not their business at all in the slightest, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that actually kind of goes a bit for men as well in Japan. So already revealing that he actually has a girlfriend is already kind of a bit of a like risky thing to do.
Yeah,
I don't know. So, but I wouldn't even, okay, to be fair, I would probably feel different about this if there wasn't like, if they didn't start it off with like abuse allegations, right? Sorry, I think there's somebody at my door. Can you give me a second?
Okay, and we're back. We were just talking about the Kaito angle and Ozawa being weird on social media.
So my main problem, right, with it is if they hadn't started it off with saying that he's like commits domestic violence, right, that's like, or that he like abuses trainees, because those are some pretty heinous like accusations. If you want to do like the thing that's like, hey Kaito, you're like pretending you're like this like straight laced guys or whatever, but like here's you smoking and here's you like fooling around, right, like at a cabaret club or whatever, like I think that's less damaging than like starting it off with like you're right, like you're like a monster basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more or less, right? That's the idea.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
Is this going to be the match on January 1st?
Guess so. I mean, kudos. If it is, kudos to Noah. Because that's a ballsy move. That's a ballsy move to put Ozawa in like that big of a spot at that show. That makes me wonder if they have like another like Marufuji like spectacular match setup, right? Like they did this year, where they had like him versus Ibushi on that show. So I wonder if they have something else like that lined up for him again. Because they kind of did that this year, right? Like, because they put the Marufuji versus Ibushi, and then they had the title match with Kenno versus Soya, which
yeah, for sure.
Also not exactly a drawing match. So, I mean, again, if it is, very big kudos to Noah, because that's taking a big risk, and we'll see if it pays off or not. But
well, let me ask you this. If they do that and Kaito retains, is this going to get Inamura'd?
No, I wouldn't say so. Because I think that also the like key difference here is like he's also way younger than Inamura. He hasn't been jobbing for like nearly as long as Inamura has been before he was sent on excursion. Like the fact, like for example, Inamura was put in Congo back in the day, but he was still a job, like he was still like a young boy jobber or whatever when he was put in Kong, and he also didn't do anything in there, right? Like he didn't get a title match until this year when he came back from that excursion.
Yeah.
So I do think it is very much a different situation, but going to have to see where he's like positioned within Team 2000X, right? Like if he's kind of like leader now, or if he's at least like the secondary guy to Jack Morris, I think then he's fine. But if he's like positioned further down in the faction, then I would be worried.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think about putting the title on him?
No, that's way too fast. That's way too early.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ready for that. I like, as much as I like him and what I've seen from him in Europe, I think he's still a bit too raw as well for that. I think he needs a little bit more seasoning in the ring before I think he's ready to be like a consistent main eventer. I don't think he's ready for that at all.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I don't know. It just feels it's probably the right move to put him in there. It just feels weird.
Yeah.
Describe it.
Like I said, I wouldn't feel so bad about this if they didn't literally start it off with like, Kaito, you've been doing things where we should probably strip the title off of you if they're true, you know?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Because if those are like, you know, like it just makes the whole situation very uncomfortable. Whereas if you're just going to be like, hey, look, Kaito has been smoking, you know, right? Like, or like here's Kaito like getting absolutely fucking hammered,
yeah,
right? To like cut into like his clean cut image and everything, which Kaito probably also should be like getting rid of a little bit as well. I think he would really well, like he needs a little bit of an edge, I think. So that wouldn't even be the worst thing, but that edge shouldn't be like, yeah, you're like breaking trainees' ribs. That should not be the edge that Kaito has.
Yeah, I looked that up and I just saw the x-ray tweet where he's like, oh, you broke my...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll see where it goes. So, I don't know, we got maybe three matches for January 1st. I don't know how this is going to draw. It's really up to how big a draw Nakamura is.
Yeah. Also, I just realized, actually, Marufuji can't be in a big, spectacular singles match because he's the tag champion and he's probably going to, like, defend it against the Wagners, right?
Yep. Yep. That'll be interesting to see if...
Be good, yeah.
All right, so then last Noah show that we got to talk about on just yesterday on November 18th, Monday Magic Autumn, episode 4, Yuga Face. So we start off with Ada beating LJ Cleary in 6:45 with the Imperial Uno. I thought, perfectly fine opening, solid.
Mm-hmm.
But again, anything you could see on a house show.
Yeah, exactly. Like this doesn't need to be on Monday Magic. You could put that on like the Yokohama Raiden Hall show. I'm pretty sure I've seen that. I'm pretty sure they put that match on a Yokohama Radiant Hall show.
Anthony Green and Kevin Blackwood defeated Uka Sasaki and Yu Iwata in 9:43 with a diving foot stop from Blackwood on Iwata. I actually thought this was good, really good. And I was actually quite impressed with the Sasaki versus Blackwood interaction. I think
I mean, I think kind of like guys that have like similar vibes. So if you want to have like a sort of like tag guy for like Sasaki or whatever, because he still feels kind of like a very like lone wolfy, right? Like he doesn't really have anybody that he's really linked to in the promotion.
Yeah.
So if you want to give him a guy like Blackwood to like team with regularly, I think that would be a good idea.
And then Kaito Kiyomiya defeated Black Mensa Ray in 5 minutes and 19 seconds with the Shining Wizard. It was a nice little match, a little comedy and everything like that. But then Nosawa comes out and he reveals
in
that
Catalonia themed Monday Magic shirt. Why did that have like... It wasn't even that it was like specifically the flag of independent Catalonia. Like it was highly political too. Why? What the fuck are we doing?
So anyway, Nosawa comes out and then he announces the Brian Kendrick. and then the Brian Kendrick comes out and cuts a promo. Yeah, whatever. And he's going to challenge Kaito next for the GHC Heavyweight Champions. I don't think we talked about it because I was like, I'm going to wait and see what happens. But like people found his profile on the Noah website.
Oh, really? I saw people found like the Kevin Blackwood profile on the Noah page. Yeah, and that's why I knew he was coming. I didn't know the Kendrick also had one.
Yeah. They found the Kendrick one before they found the Blackwood one.
Oh, okay.
Because they're all numbered.
Oh, yeah, right. Because they just number them from top to bottom. So unless Noah realizes that people do that, we're just going to get spoiled on every single surprise per person coming into Genoa.
Yeah. So, whatever. I mean, is this just a one and done thing?
I really hope so. Like, why Brian Kendrick? Like, he hasn't been relevant in forever. Like, even less so, like, right? Like, because it's not even like people would, like, know him from his, like, recent runs on, like, American TV. Like, there he was, like, okay, how many people in like Japan watch 205 Live? Right? Like, was that even on TV there? Did anybody watch that? Except for like, you know, basically the equivalent of us, but in Japan, and for American wrestling, who those guys probably watch that and they probably are familiar with him. But then otherwise, like his last match in Japan was in 2013, like over 10 years ago. And it's not like he was like a super high profile guy then. So he's just been like jobbing on like low level American indie shows. And now he gets a JHC title shot out of nowhere. Like the fuck did he do to earn that? Nothing.
Yeah. I mean, this is just pure Nosawa.
I guess so, yeah. But like, where's even the connection? Like, oh, wait, no, I know what the connection is. Never mind. Yeah, wait. I just realized what Brian Kendrick and Nosawa Rongai have in common.
What?
And that they're both probably have a bit of a, you know, preference for like the wacky tabacky.
Yeah. It's nice to see but Nosawaism is alive and well, right? It's always like, you know, you do a couple of things like, oh, okay, and then he does something.
Yeah. I just wish it was a guy I could actually be, like, because I like it when he does it, and it's guys that I like, and I, you know, if it's, like, Brian Kendrick in 2024, who hasn't been good in forever, I don't know. It doesn't exactly get my juices going.
No, I, like, the fact that he's already there just makes it feel like he's there to...
Really hope he isn't.
Yeah.
I really don't want him to stick around. You can drop him out to Kaito and then send him on his way back. And it's like, cool. Thanks for coming, Brian. You can go back to XPW or whatever.
He ends up in Team 2000X.
Oh, God, he is, isn't he? Because he's an ex-WWE guy. And Yoshitatsu said he wants to bring back the Attitude Era.
Oh, God.
Yeah, this is going to get worse before it gets better.
I definitely think so. We'll see. So yeah, that's that. I don't know. I mean, just fingers crossed that this is just a 1 week thing. And then we move on to Koki Amore, Natsumi Shozuki, and Bozilla defeated Miyuki Takase, Sadie Gibbs, and Hyann in 11:53 with a power bomb from Bozilla on Hyann to get the win. I actually thought this was a very solid match. because everybody else, well, Koki is green, but everybody else, there's some very solid veteran talent in this match as well.
Yeah, no, they definitely kept that one together. I think Bozella, like, her power came across really well in the match.
Yeah.
And also, like, the way, because basically she was teaming with two champions as well, the way both of them kind of, like, she kind of looked at them. I don't know if they were, like, little bit teasing title matches there, but I thought that was done pretty well as well in the post-match.
Yeah. And then we had a four-way tag match. It was Hiro to Dr. Wagner Jr. and Glenn O'Dumal defeating Hayata and Yohei, Dragon Bane and Alpha Wolf, and Alejandro and Kai Fujimura in 12:45 when Galeno pinned Fujimura with the Galeno special. I mean, this was a wild spot fest, as you might expect.
Yeah. No, this was pretty wild. I love that one. That one might have been like, I don't know, maybe that's a bit much to call it like the best match of Monday Magic so far. But it was really, really good. And I almost thought that like they were going to make this a title match when Hayata and Yohei came out.
Yeah.
And I was about to like lose my shit because I was like, okay, we did this whole long-ass storyline about how Taniguchi has to like shoot hit Wade. And then we're just going to put the belts on the Wagner brothers, or the junior belts on the Wagner brothers. What? Or they're just going to get a shot like when both of them, like when one of them weighs as much as like an opposing team combined.
Yeah.
So, but no, they luckily did it then. They didn't do that.
I felt like this was much more in the spirit of Monday Magic.
Yes, no, this definitely felt like, yes, it is also a match that you could see on like a regular Noah show, but not in this like four-way forum, and also not as like a surprise match, right? Because we didn't know it was coming out, and you could see the crowd like pop for like each and for like each additional team coming out and everything.
Yeah,
and also the Dragon Brothers, Los Golpeadores, had new gear as well, which looks really. Yeah. I mean, their gear is always on point. Like it looks really cool.
Sure. Well, I mean, also Dragon Bane had that great entrance outfit when he faced Daga.
Yeah.
And then in the main event of the show, Shuji Ishikawa defeated, or for the GHC Hardcore title, Shuji Ishikawa defeated Masato Tanaka in 1901 with a giant slam to make his first defense of the title. I don't even know what to think of this. It's in terms of like, I mean, these guys are showing their age, but at the same time, they were doing ridiculous shit. But also, they were spending a lot of time setting everything up.
Yeah. I also have to deduct points for no blood.
Yes, that's true.
Look, you give me a Masato Tanaka hardcore, you give me a Shuji Ishikawa with Masato Tanaka hardcore match, and neither of them bleeds. What? No, not acceptable. I absolutely had to deduct points for that. I agree that there was stuff that was like absolutely insane that I liked in there. It took forever to set up, and no blood. Didn't like. No.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's still taking powerbombs on ladders.
It's still insane that both of them are doing this at their age. Especially Masato Tanaka. He's been doing this shit since the mid-90s.
Yep. So, I cannot give this a, you have to drop everything and watch this, but you might get a kick out of it.
Yeah.
So just be aware of what you're going into, I guess, with this. But, you know, the crowd enjoyed it and everything like that. I'm sure it would be awesome to watch live.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. Like, this is definitely one of those matches where, if you're there in person, you probably think about this completely differently than you are watching it back on VOD.
Yeah. And so we've got a Limit Break show this weekend. I forgot to add to the run sheet, but I just remembered that was on. We're going to go over that real quick. We've got Deki Odashima versus Junya Matsunaga. We've got the Reeve Mask versus Black Mensa Ray. We've got Kazuyuki Fujita, Shuhei Taniguchi, and Yu Awada versus Chris Weiss, Soki Nagao, and Takuya Sugawara.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, why not? Muhammad Yone versus Tomomitsu Matsunaga. Atsushi Kotoge and Kohei Kinoshita versus Koji Iwamoto and Brian Ishizaka, who I have not seen. And then
also always happy to see Koji Iwamoto.
For sure. And then we've got for the main event, Goshi Ozaki versus Shuji Ishikawa for the World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, I mean, no, I would assume that Go is going to lose there, right?
They're doing this at Shinkansen.
Yeah.
Kind of, I mean, wild.
Yeah, the fall of 0-1 has been bad.
But like, this has got to be a first time matchup, right? Because Go had left when they started Ishikawa in All Japan, right?
Yeah, I want to say yes. Yeah, I don't think they overlapped at all.
Go left in what, late 2015?
And And Ishikawa only came in really when they when he formed Violent Giants with Suwama, and that was in 20.
Well, no, Ishikawa 17? Comes in. No, Ishikawa comes in. He works a couple of dates in All Japan, and then he starts in the Royal Road Tournament 2015.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Trying to see. The Real World Tag League. Do you know who Shuji Ishikawa's tag team partner in the 2015 Real World Tag League was, Paul?
The 2015. Well, wasn't that Kotaro Suzuki?
No, it was Hoshi Tango.
Oh God, Jesus, that's a blast from the past.
it is.
Okay, I just looked it up. So they had that wasn't even a match in. There wasn't even a match in All Japan where they overlapped, but they had a match on a union show, a tag match. It was Go Shiozaki and Kotaro Suzuki versus Daichi Kazato and Shuji Ishikawa.
Yeah, it just feels like this should be a bigger deal, but I guess that peak has passed.
Yeah, if these guys, even if you tell me these guys are facing off against each other 2 years ago, I would feel better about that.
Yeah, I'm very curious about how it turns out, though.
Yeah, I mean, like I just said, with Go being the way he is right now, I don't know. We can really expect there, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, Ishikawa can, every once in a while, can still pull it out, though. I don't know.
Do you think Ishikawa's going to win?
There's not that many people that can, because it would have to be him or Tanaka, right? But Tanaka just lost to Ishikawa.
Yeah, I can't rerun that. Well, I suppose you could rerun it at Korakuen and have Tanaka.
Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to, you could drag it out to the early January Korakuen for 0-1, right?
Yeah.
Is that actually happening?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, because that would already be out, right? That's already out. The schedule for that.
Yeah.
I'm actually trying to bring it up right now just to confirm that it is actually, but. Isn't that normally January 1st? So that would actually overlap with the Noah show, unless you want to have Go wrestle twice. Yeah, it is actually. It's on the same day. So the 0-1 Korakuen is at 11:30, and then Noah and the Nippon Budokan is at 4 p.m. You can't make that. Let's say that 0-1 Korakuen goes you can obviously make that. But then the question is, does Go want to wrestle in the main event and then have to wrestle 2 hours later, essentially?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I think Go's going to return.
Yeah, but then the question is again, where do you have him lose this title, right? Because I don't think he's going to hold it for much longer.
Yeah, it drops on January 1st at Tanaka.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, either he loses it here or he loses it January 1st at Tanaka. I don't think there's really many other places where that could happen.
Yeah, exactly. So that's Noah. We'll see what happens. I don't know. Lots of moving parts. I don't know. I probably where it's all going. So we go to All Japan Pro Wrestling, and they kicked off the Real World Tag League on November 9th at Korakuen Hall in front of 1,383 fans. And yes, it looked quite full. I got to say, that's a pretty impressive number.
Yeah. No, it's also up year over year as well, right?
Yeah.
It's more than they drew for the opening of the Real World Tag League last year.
Mm-hmm. And so they started off, everyone comes to the ring with their sashes and everyone brawls to the back. But the first match, but this bleeds directly in the first match, where it was Kuroshi of Tokyo, Japan, and Sego Tachibana defeated Cyrus and Hartley Jackson 2 minutes and 3 seconds. Tachibana used a cradle on Jackson, and then Cyrus and Jackson freaked out and threw a bunch of chairs and everything like that and running through the crowd. I thought it was a great visual, and it was a great way to get the show started with popping up the crowd like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I didn't expect them to brawl straight into the first match. I think that was really nice. And then doing it this quickly as well and giving Jiro and Sego the quick win was I think that's the right decision as well. I thought, and again, as you said, it got the crowd really pumped up, and I think they kind of kept the energy up for the rest of the show.
And then Real World Tag League Block A, Daisuke Sakamoto and Kengo Mashimo defeated Hokuto Omori and Kumarashi in 12:52. The Big Bang Catastrophe on Omori. It was okay.
Yeah, I mean, it really was. It's something I have to say kind of about most of the tournaments so far. This was basically the baseline of what most of the matches have been so far.
kinda. It wasn't bad. It's just average there.
Yeah.
So we'll just go over the tournament matches. Mm-hmm. They're going to block B with Yuma Aoyagi and Fuminori Abe defeated Hikaru Sato and Yuko Miyamoto in 3 seconds with a jackknife hold from Aoyagi on Sato. As you could expect from these guys, there was actually a lot of comedy.
There's a lot of comedy. I liked it when they like did actual wrestling, but I thought the comedy almost like I expected there to be a lot of comedy, or I didn't expect it to be this much comedy. But still, overall, I still enjoyed it. But I think, again, it's one of those matches, right, where if you're there in the crowd, this is actually much better than watching it.
Yeah, for sure.
From afar.
And then another block A match. Yun Sato and Rei Sato defeated Makoto Oishi and Mike DiVecchio in 11:40 with the eyes bind from Rei on Oishi. I mean, this was all about to let Mike D show his stuff off.
Yeah. Have to cite a space for him.
Yeah.
As well as Makoto Oishi being like the Saito simp as well, like coming out in their t-shirt for the match and everything. And yeah, but generally, yeah, this was about like showing off. It's like, hey, look at this like giant muscly Belgian man we found that is doing like crazy flips.
Yeah, I mean, he got over. It was a good debut.
Yeah. Yes, no, they did exactly what they should have done with him here.
And then in the main event, in Block B, Kento Miyahara and Davey Boy Smith Jr. defeated Suwama and Hideki Suzuki in 20:46 with a bulldog bomb from Suwama. Okay, I don't want to overrate this. I thought this was a good match, although a lot of it was just Kento sound. But this could have been, up to this point, the best Suwama and Hideki Suzuki tag match.
I mean, that's not a high bar to clear.
I know. But it was, in my opinion.
Yes. I will agree with that. I will say it's not the best tag match involving Hideki Suzuki that I've seen this year, but it is the best match of this tag team. Yes, I do agree with that one. I still don't think it was a really blowaway match, I think.
No. I don't want to overrate
Kento sold really well and everything. It was solid, which solid actually puts it above the standards of what Suwama and Hideki have been doing.
Yeah, exactly. And then we go on to that Iwate Gymnasium. Shotaro Shino and Dan Tamura defeated Makoto Oishi and Mike DiVecchio in 10:27 with the power bomb from Tamura on Oishi. Solid. For some reason, I don't remember much about this match.
I liked the post-match promo that they did, because this was one of those that was just put up on VOD, right? So they put the backstage promos in there, where Oishi was like, don't worry, no damage. And Mike D was like, yeah, but we lost, so you did take damage. Next time, no damage.
And then Block A, Hokuto Mori and Kuma Rachi defeated Rising Hayato and Yuma Anzai in 8:35 with the Narcissist Locked from Omori on Hayato. This was short, though. I thought it was actually pretty solid.
Mm-hmm. I like this one as well. I think Omori and Hayato actually have pretty decent chemistry. So I think that really helped it here as well. And then again, this is what I think actually it's something they've done for the entire tour, where they're doing like weird like stuff with Omori and Inoue on like the backstage segments, where like Inoue is like, he's doing this weird laughing gimmick now that I don't really get. And then he likes, I think not on this show, but I think after the next one, he sprayed like hairspray in Omori's face backstage and like took his like 6-man tag belt.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. A challenge for that. Maybe.
Yeah.
And then we go to Block B. Ryoki Han and Ren Ayabe defeated Yuma Aoyagi and Fuminori Abe in 10:04 with the final vent from Honda on Aoyagi. Again, a nice solid match. But, I mean, it didn't last too long to truly get going or anything.
No, I expected more out of this because I was like just looking at it and I'm like, you know, it's two really good teams. So they're probably going to have a really good match. But then it had a decent match, but nothing great. And they did the dancing gimmick again with Honda after he beat Aoyagi.
Yep.
But were you surprised that he beat Aoyagi and not Abe?
Not really. I mean, it is kind of something, but then Aoyagi got some of his own.
Yeah. I think maybe they do it building something there at least with Honda and Aoyagi.
Yeah, that might be possible. And then in the main event of the show, Block A, Daisuke Sekimoto and Keigo Mashima went to a 30-minute draw with Sashi and Seki Yoshioka. And I gotta say, this wasn't bad at all.
No, this was much better than I expected, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, it was solid. I think Musashi and Seki Yoshioka might be the MVPs of this tournament so far.
Oh, yeah. No, I really like what they've done. It's actually a match they have coming up later that I actually like more than this one even.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but this was really solid. This was, I did not expect, I knew going in that it was going to be a 30-minute draw, and I did not expect to enjoy it this much.
Look, I mean, like Sekimoto and Mashima are both good wrestlers. They're just a little older.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Musashi and Yoshioka like held up their end of the bargain for a 30-minute draw, might I add.
Yeah.
Not that it was all dynamic action or anything like that, but it was just like they kept the pace well and it didn't drag. It felt like.
No, I think that it really helped. Like, I think that it was also two very different teams, right? Where like Sekimoto and Mashimo were much more like obviously like the power team because they're the bigger guys, and then Musashi and Yoshioka kept up by just being quicker and everything, which is a solid story. And I think they did that well for like the 30 minutes as well. So I think them kind of like being able to fly a bit as well, like kind of kept the pace up, and it made it feel like it felt shorter than it actually was. I was actually surprised. I was like, oh wait, we're actually already getting to like the 30-minute call. I was like, okay, this was definitely better than I expected it.
Yeah. And then we go to November 16th at Dream Messe Miyagi Main Building Exhibition Hall in front of 1,334 fans. Saito's continue to be draws.
Yep.
What can you say? Block B, Cyrus and Harley Jackson defeated Hikaru Sato and Yuko Miyamoto in 8:04 with a reverse splash from Cyrus and Sato. I mean, it was what you expected. It was perfectly fine. And it was just like, you know, Sato trying to kick Cyrus's legs, and, you know, and then the monster foreigners winning.
Yeah.
And then Ryuki Han and Ren Ayabe defeated Kuroshio Tokyo Japan and Sego Tachibana in 12 minutes and 10 seconds with an airplane throw from Honda on Tachibana. I actually thought this was a solid little match.
Mm-hmm. No, I think actually Jiro and Tachibana have like exceeded my expectations a bit. Because yeah. I think I know obviously Tachibana is great, but like when he's in there with Jiro, he's doing a lot of like very heavy shtick. So, but they're kind of keeping that down in the matches at least.
And then Block A, Makoto Oishi and Mike DiVecchio defeated Musashi and Seki Yoshioka in 11:27 with the shooting star press from Vecchio on Musashi. This is the debut of the shooting star press.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the crowd audibly gasped when he did it.
Oh, yeah. Again, like a really good performance from Musashi and Yoshioka again, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, again, I love this one as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They were also able to keep up with Mike D as well, right? Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, that's
with the speed and everything. Mm-hmm. I also love that, like, their big, like, that, like, Mike D and Oishi's big, like, tag team move is Mike D just picking Makoto up and just tossing him at the opponents. Or him like no selling the, I think Seki Yoshioka's like enzigiri and just like picking him up for like a gut wrench suplex. Like, there were some really cool spots on this one.
And then the main event, Block A, June Setter and Ray Setter defeated Rising Hatter and Yuma Anzai in 25:44 when June pinned Anzai after the doom. This is the match of the term so far by far.
Yes.
This is awesome.
Yeah, this was really fucking good.
Anzai is the best chemistry with the Saito brothers of anyone.
Yes. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, I mean, I think that match against Ray was probably going to end up very high on my mm-hmm. And he also has great chemistry with June.
Yeah. Were they together in the... Were they together in the dojo at all? Or were the Saitos already on excursion when Anzai got in there?
The Saitos were already on excursion.
Yeah, because otherwise I would have been like, yeah, obviously they have good chemistry, they like train together, but I don't think they ever did. So I guess they still kind of see themselves as belonging to the same generation, despite the fact that there's like 10 years between them in terms of age.
But only a year apart debut, more or less.
In debut, yeah, exactly. So, no, but I do think I think it's really encouraging that he has like really good chemistry with like bigger guys as well, because obviously in all Japan, he's going to be wrestling those guys a lot. Yeah. I think it was you, right, that made that point in the Discord where it's like, oh, Makoto Oishi isn't even that small, but he looks so tiny in all Japan.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, he really small, does.
He doesn't look that small in DD.
No. Like, I think as well, like with the new trainee as well, because he's been on like some bigger spots as well on this tour, right?
Yeah.
Where I think I remember when he was like in the ring with like Kento and Davey Boy, and he looks like a literal child. Like, he looks so tiny next to them.
Yeah. So this definitely, if you're going to watch any match of the tournament one,
Yeah, absolutely. This will definitely. And so what we're actually going to be doing, because somebody asked us to do it as well, which fair enough, is that we're kind of going to be putting out kind of like recommendation lists essentially from the match that we're reviewing. So to kind of be like, hey, these are like the matches that we reviewed on the show that you should kind of like go and watch.
Yeah, definitely. And then move on to November 17th at Sukuroka City Fujishima Gymnasium in front of 511 fans. Paul, I actually watched an undercard match because I wanted to see Mike DiVecchio versus Seiko
Tachibana.
Did you watch it?
I watched that one as well, yeah.
Well, okay, so I got to say this about, he looks like he's not going to land his moves, but he does like 95% of the time.
Yes.
However, here, he did have issue setting up for that shooting star press and just dropped down, an elbow drop. Went back to the top, yeah, and then hit a picture-perfect shooting star press.
I mean, the thing I will say about Mike D, he is not the most cerebral wrestler.
No.
I think he's also somebody, again, that you kind of have to experience a bit in person as well.
Sure.
To really fully get it as well. But you do kind of just have to accept that, yeah, every once in a while, like, he has like moments like this where he struggles a bit with some stuff, but he generally is actually pretty good. But like, for example, right, he could have just been up there, like up on the top rope, and just, he probably eventually would have steadied himself. But like, I think he at least is good enough of a wrestler to realize, okay, after a while, if I can't do it, I should at least go down to like do some moves so that my opponent, yeah, doesn't look like a complete idiot because they're lying there for like 2 minutes while I like try to steady myself on the top rope. So
also in this match, he sold a lot for Tachibana.
Actually, he did. Yeah, no, that's something that like Mike D is actually somebody is actually pretty giving as well for his opponent. So no, I, and again, the crowd audibly gasped when he did the shooting star press because they probably expected him to do like a splash or something, you know, and then he just does the like beautiful shooting star press.
I know. I think some people just say that there's not much to him. I don't care. I'm enjoying
it. He fucking rules.
I want All Japan to invest in him.
Absolutely. Yeah. He fucking rules. I fucking love Mike D. It's also like that. It's nothing. Also, man is lit. One thing I will say, it's unfortunate that we won't really be getting like War Machine fans because I don't think that really works well with Japanese. I guess like maybe like Mike D or something, because if you've ever been live at a Mike D match, you will realize that this man is addicted to pops. Mm. Like there's rarely a wrestler I've ever seen that gets so fucking hyped up from people chanting for him. And I think that's one of the reasons why he does this as well, like why he does these moves, because he knows that like the more he does them, the more people would cheer him. So it is actually kind of like very nice, but like you can see him audibly get hyped up as you cheer him. So yeah, more Mike D, please. Thank you. He rocks.
And then Block B, Yuma Aoyagi and Fuminori Abe defeated Suwama and Hideki Suzuki in 11:13 with a backslide from Aoyagi and Suwama. And then that was set up by Abe giving the punch to Suwama. Honestly, I like this. I mean, it's as goofy as some of the other Abe and Aoyagi matches. But again, it's just, I thought Suwama actually looked really good here. Like, mm-hmm, he looked like he was hustling. And now him and Suzuki have stopped the stupid odd couple stuff, and it's a lot better.
Yeah, I think that really helps, because that was just the thing that was just dragging their matches into the abyss. I still don't think they're a great tag team, but at least they've like gotten rid of their most annoying element.
Exactly. And then semi-main Block B, Cyrus and Hartley Jackson defeated Ryuki Honda and Rene Abe in 11:37 with the reverse splash from Cyrus on Honda. I thought it was decent, and I thought, mm-hmm, I thought this was the best Cyrus and Jackson match of the tournament.
Yeah.
You know,
did you see Hartley Jackson jump over the top rope?
Yeah, I did.
In this match, I was like, what the fuck? Where did that come from? guessing maybe he's putting himself in a bit better shape to like stick around in New Japan, I guess. But yeah, I was also positively surprised by this match.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it like one of the best of the tournament, but it was solid, and it was the best Cyrus and Jackson match.
Yeah.
And then in the main event, Block A, Jun Saito and Rei Saito defeated Musashi and Seki Yoshioka in 15:07 with the psycho break from Jun on Musashi. This was not as good as the one against Anzai and Hayato, but this was like the second best match of the tournament.
Yeah.
I think I thought, again, Musashi and Yoshioka were great here. They worked hard, and they know how to credibly attack the Saito. It was a lot of trying to ground them, kicks and everything like that, and double team like that. So it made a lot of logical sense. And I mean, the Saito's making that late, and this is always the case in All Japan, but the Saito's making that late run for the year, right? Like, because I think
they've wrapped it up for me, because before that I was already like, yeah, the Saito's are my probably going to be my tag team of the year, but I don't think it's really like a competition anymore now after these two matches.
Well, and I think let me see what they got left. So the next show is on the 20th, and they're against Sekimoto and Mashimo. I mean, ooh, that could be good if they just kick the crap out of each other for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got Ashino and Tamura. That'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
Hokuto Amori and Kumarashi. We'll see.
Let's see.
I can see some goofiness in that one.
Yeah. And,
on the last block night, they're not on the last block night, but still, like, that's a couple of more matches that add, I think. Pretty good run in this tournament so far. So, like, honestly, I would rank the best in this tournament so far as, like, Musashi and Yoshioka and then the Saitos.
Yeah. No, and then I would probably put, like, I would actually put Mike D and Oishi third.
Yeah, third's open. I mean, you could even make a case for Hideki and Wong. Or, no, I'd probably go Honda and Ayabe, but you could...
Yeah, I would probably go Honda and Ayabe next. Okay, but one thing before we move on from the Saitos, because I think we have to talk about this. Great overall year for the Saitos. Good in ring, everything, big stars. I think they just did the dumbest thing they've done all year, though.
Oh, right. I wanted to talk about this. This is a crime against nature.
This is, why would you do this? I'm sorry. Like, you looked so fucking cool. And now you look like an absolute dark Ray Saito.
Yeah, he shaved his beard.
Why? He looks like a child. He looks like a giant overgrown 12-year-old now.
Yes, he needs to.
I really hope he has like genes that allow him to like very quickly regrow his beard, because this is not it. This clean shaven look is not it. He looks like, I don't know. He literally went from like a guy that you look at and I'm like, man, it's the coolest motherfucker I've ever seen, to like, hey Ray, I'm going to like shove you into a locker and steal your lunch.
Yes, I think it'll grow back. I'm sure there's people already telling him.
Yeah, I don't know why Suwama allowed him to do it. If I'm Suwama and I get approached by Ray Saito of like, hey, Suwama, I want to like, hey, Kohei, I want to like shave my beard. I tell you to fuck off. You're not going to do that. And the only reason I would even allow you to do that is like, I don't know, you put it up as a match stipulation. Otherwise, I'm not allowing you to shave.
Oh, yeah, that could have been a great. Well, they still got their hair.
Beard versus beard. I don't know.
Yes. So let's take a look at the standings. In the A block, the Saito's at top at 6. Sekimoto and Mashimo at 3. Ashino and Tamura at 2. Omori and Arashi at 2. Oishi and Vecchio at 2. Musashi and Sekiyoshioka at 1. And Rising Hayato and Yuma Anzai at 0. And then in B block, we got Honda and Ayabe at 4, Aoyagi and Fenori Abe at 4, Cyrus and Hartley Jackson at 4, Kenta Miyahara and David Boy Smith at 2, although they've only had like one match. Kuroshi Tokyo Japan and Sega Tachibana at 2, Hikaru Sato and Yuko Miyamoto at 0, and Suwama and Hideki at 0. So I'm expecting Hayato and Anzai and Suwama and Suzuki to go on some win streaks now.
Yeah.
That's right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm surprised that Anzai and Hayato are still at 0. But yeah, I think they're definitely going to go on a run now. I think actually the Saito, like, unless they're just going to have the Saito sweep, the Saitos probably will have to lose some matches, because otherwise it's just like the block is...
I could see them losing the second motor,
right? Yeah. So there's definitely some stuff in there. I definitely think like, yeah, Suwama and Hideki are probably going to go on a run. I don't think Saito and Miyamoto will be.
No.
I think Kento and Davey Boy will... I think, again, because they only had one match, we can't really call it a run, right? Like, they will just win more matches just by having matches at all.
Yeah. So do you have any idea of the semifinalists? Like, obviously the Saitos.
Saitos, I think, are definitely making it. I wouldn't be shocked if actually Hayato and Anzai actually just win out, basically, and also make the semis.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other block,
Ayabe and Honda, right?
Ayabe and Honda, I'm thinking. I think Suwama and Hideki go on a bit of a run, but I think they miss out. And I think then the other team is probably Kento and Davey Boy.
Yeah. Although the last block night, Kento and Davey Boy face Cyrus and Harley Jackson, which I could end up
maybe
them being spoilers.
Could very well be, yeah. Could also be to like decide the final like semifinal spot as well.
Yeah. Wait. So Ayabe and Honda do not have. Oh no, they face Hikaru Sato and Yuka Miyamoto on the second last block night, and that's their last block match. But they got to maybe.
Probably. Yeah.
Huh.
I hate that the blocks don't. You know, why didn't you just make like two shows as like the final block nights, where like you have one show is block A, all block A, one show is all block B. Like, it's so confusing.
Well, can you even do that? Well, how many teams are in each block?
We have. Oh yeah, no, it's an uneven number of teams, so you actually can't do that. Never mind.
I don't know. This is All Japan style. They just don't.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just happy they actually give us a final and not the weirdness that they've been doing previously, where it's either they come up with some convoluted scenario to give you a tie to then force a final, or they just basically just kind of give away the tournament by making the final match on the tournament to be the de facto final. But yeah, it's still confusing. I mean, I still love the Real World Tag League. I think it's still the best tag league in Japan. It just sometimes has some weirdness when it comes to the booking, but at the end of the day, it pretty much always comes through.
Yeah, for sure.
And I don't doubt, like, I think regardless of what it will be, I think the final will be great.
Oh, for sure. I was going to say, closing, what do you think of the tournament so far?
I think a lot of it was pretty, like, I think this hasn't really been anything bad, but also most of the matches have been, like, just okay, right? Like, we've had some standouts, but also a lot of it was just mostly there. So, yeah, probably I will say, because I'm still in the middle of it, so I don't really know where to rank it yet. I will probably say that I would actually say I might actually think it's better than some past Real World Tag Leagues.
Oh,
simply
for sure.
Because there wasn't anything bad, right? Like the floor of like these teams is so high that like even for like the worst team, you're gonna get like a solid match out of them. There is no like stinker team at all in this tournament. Especially now that like Suwama and Hideki have like drop the like
they've decided
fighting stuff. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And Suwama seems strangely motivated. I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah.
You know, for a guy that's doing a lot of jobs now, well, good for him. I think he realizes that he's got to do.
Yeah, his time as main event is done.
I felt like he held out a little too long, and he should have
been
sooner.
He should have, but. At least he's willing, like, you know, because some guys never realize it and never do the jobs. So I think it's good on him that he actually did realize it, that he has to do it. Better late than never.
I'm going to be honest. I'm convinced he's.
Yeah, I do think he's the booker as well.
And but I think that I think Kento and Yuma have a lot.
Oh, yeah, obviously. I don't know. Like, Kento never really struck me as a guy that does a lot of work backstage.
Well, he's the go-between. Between Fukuda and the wrestlers now.
Yes, so he's at least that now, yeah. But we do know that, like, for example, like Yuma was like involved with like training and everything. So
yeah,
he always was like the like, and I think he's probably like in terms of like running things backstage, he's probably like Suwama's like second in charge, if I had to take a guess.
Yeah, for sure. So that's it. We have gone through anything. We've got some very possibly very strange things coming up. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's much between now and the end of the Real World Tag League.
No, there isn't. Noah basically just has the Monday Magic shows.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
We'll see how things sort of stack up, but we might not come back until after World Tag League, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we say that and then something absolutely nuts is happening. And like,
if something absolutely nuts happens, we'll definitely have to come back. Because how many shows are left in the Real World Tag League? We got 1, 4, 5. You know what? There's 6 shows before the final, so yeah, we will have to come back before then.
Oh yeah, okay, because otherwise, yeah, that's gonna be a bit of a slog. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
yeah, for sure. So we will be back in 2 weeks, roughly now instead. And we'll get World Tag League finals. So we will talk to you in 2 weeks. Enjoy all the wrestling out there. Bye.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only.
Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Episodes drop every other Monday, where we discuss the biggest Joshi news, review shows, and preview the hottest upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're a new fan or an old fan, we've got something here for you at Jumping Bomb Audio.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.